Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 1, Chapter 10. And we'll cover texts 9 through 13. Chapter 10 comes after chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the departure of Grandfather Bhishma. And before he departs, he gives instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira about how to rule. And before he instructs how to rule, he convinces him that he should rule, because he doesn't want to do it. He's feeling terrible because of all the killing that took place during the battle, and more than just killing, innocent people, bystanders, children, brahmanas, too much. So, chapter 10 begins with Shaunaka saying, what happened next? Surely Maharaj Yudhisthira could not have ruled the kingdom with unrestricted happiness, even after hearing from Bhishma Dev. His heart is heavy, because it was, however it may be, the will of the Lord, because that's what Bhishma Dev said, and who can understand the will of the Lord? But it was clear that it was the will of the Lord. So, perform your duty, don't lament. You acted only according to the indication that Krishna had given you. So, from the previous chapter, chapter 9, Yudhisthira succeeded in persuading, actually the end of chapter 8, Yudhisthira had persuaded Krishna to stay. So Krishna stayed for several months, and it was to primarily pacify Yudhisthira and Subhadra. Subhadra, because Subhadra was Krishna's sister. And her son had been killed, just very young boy. And newly married, and the father of Maharaj Parikshit. So, the initial verses are describing how opulent things were, how satisfied people were, how bountiful was the situation during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And Prabhupada speaks on some of his favorite topics, on the uselessness of democracy and how a king must have kingly power, not unfettered, because he's fettered by his submission to the personality of Godhead and the advice of the brahmanas. He's governed by those two principles. But he's got kingly power, and otherwise, not having that, because you don't have qualified king, he's abusive, then you have an unqualified president who's elected by unqualified people. And nobody's happy. So the problem isn't the system, the problem is unqualified kings. And many nice things about what real opulence is, the basis of economy being cows and land put in italics, And the standard of success or secret of success is taking refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Some of Prabhupada's favorite themes from First Canto. Because the king was so pious, people followed. And because they followed, they were pious. And because the king and the kingdom were very pious, everything was supplied. And conversely, there was no harassment for the king. He had no enemies because he was non-envious himself. And many nice things. So, after staying for a few months, Krishna's going to get back on that chariot and head off. That happened earlier, and he didn't go. But now he's saying his seeking permission to depart from the king, from Maharaj Yudhisthira, and Yudhisthira comes to receive Krishna. Krishna, one of these beautiful scenes that Krishna, in the public, whatever you call it, arena, Krishna places his head at Yudhisthira's feet. And Yudhisthira lifts him up and embraces him. So, such intimacy, but also Krishna showing respect that's due to an elder, because Yudhisthira was the king. He was the elder brother of the Pandavas. Prabhupada explains, Yudhisthira knew perfectly well Krishna is the personality of Godhead. But he also knew perfectly well that Krishna had certain feelings, and he honored those feelings. His service was to honor those feelings. Krishna wanted to show some respect for Yudhisthira, and so must have felt awkward. Like, no, you can't do that. That's, I want to do that. You can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that? Just so, because it was loving service. And Yudhisthira being the elder, that was the formality. And then the two, Arjuna and Bhima, who were of comparable age, they exchanged like friends, and Nakula and Sahadev came and paid their respects before Krishna's feet because they were younger. So they were showing this, the formality of etiquette, but even in exchanges with the personality of Godhead, formality of etiquette is not dismissed. So then, now comes our verses for this morning. Text 9 and 10 are translated together. They're lists of other persons who came to experience separation from Krishna. List is Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu. Who's Yuyutsu? Besides, it's a hard name to say. Yuyutsu. Who is he? Anybody know? Yuyutsu is one of the, he's not one of the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, but he's, in addition to Gandhari, Dhritarashtra had a Vaishya wife, and Yuyutsu is the son of the Vaishya wife. So he wasn't killed because he was a Vaishya. He wasn't Kshatriya, he wasn't on the battlefield. So he's there, son of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Excuse me, son of Dhritarashtra, not Gandhari. Kripacharya, Nakula Sahadev, Bhimasen, Domya, who's Domya? He's a, not exactly preceptor, he is a family priest. He performed rituals for the Kaurava dynasty. And last on the list is Satyavati. Who is Satyavati? Not Bhishma Dev's mother. Bhishma Dev's stepmother. So who is she the mother of? Could you speak a little louder? Satyavati is not the mother of Dhritarashtra. Huh? Vyasadev is... So Vyasadeva is the son, one of the sons of Satyavati before she was married by Parashara Muni. And then after she was married to Santanu, she had two sons, Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. Vichitravirya and Chitrangada were sons of Santanu and Satyavati. And instead of Bhishma Dev, Chitrangada was the elder brother, so he was to become king. But he was killed in a battle with a Gandharva who had the same name, Chitrangada. And he thought, who is this imposter, Chitrangada? So he came to earth and challenged him in battle and killed him. Thus ended Chitrangada. So then the younger brother, Vichitravirya, was to become king. So Vichitravirya became king for a short while, but he didn't, he also died early, young. Another story. So there was no successor to the throne. And the wives of Vichitravirya were going to enter into the funeral of their funeral pyre of their father, their husband. Satyavati convinced them otherwise. Ambika and Ambalika. And they became the mothers of the Pandavas. So. Not the mother, mother of the Pandavas. The mother of Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura, and one of the maidservants of Ambika. Okay, so that's Satyavati. So the scene is Krishna's on his chariot, and all these great personalities are beside themselves with great anxiety that Krishna is going to leave. So here we're getting in Canto 1, Chapter 10, the scene of separation, viraha, or in we're accustomed to hearing vipralamba, but viraha means the same, separation, feelings of separation. And that this is covering our mourning topic. Prabhupada writes, these feelings of separation, they can't be described. There was the separation that the residents of Vrindavan felt when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. After his separation, the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others felt shock throughout their lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feeling which was expressed by them is heartrending. So, Prabhupada's point here is that there's a difference, qualitative difference, in the transcendental qualities of the devotees. So we can speak of the ways in which they, the intensity in which they felt separation from Krishna. But his point is, anyone who had contact with Krishna, either directly or otherwise, having that some connection with Krishna, they couldn't bear separation. We don't have so much to compare that to. I mean, when people are really attached, I see it in the airports, you know, sobbing and, you know. But, and then receiving somebody that's been away, they're sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Just, that's something like this, but it's a perverted reflection of this. This is deep spiritual attachment. Something like the separation everybody felt when Prabhupada left. It was a shock. We knew it was going to happen, but when it happened, it was a shock. Persons were, you know, just incapacitated, just couldn't function. So what to speak of these personalities, Krishna's sister, Uttara and Dhritarashtra, and even Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, as motivated as Dhritarashtra was, he had some transcendental quality, or some spiritual quality. Anyway, all these personalities, Kunti, Nakula, Sahadev, and Bhima, Doma, Satyavati, Draupadi, they're feeling such viraha, such separation from Krishna. Then, Vyasadev goes into that subject and says, the intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation? For they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. The Sanskrit begins, sat sangan mukta duk sango hatum not hasate buddha. So, through satsanga, through association with devotees, then even the non-devotee can become attracted. They're mukta duksanga. They're becoming free from bad materialistic association becomes possible. Prabhupada, in the purport, I'll read the purport because it's very nice, but he describes materialistic persons and personalities and what their attachments are, and how those persons can become attracted to Krishna. Then the liberated souls who have no material attraction, how they become attracted to Krishna. And then the pure devotees. What to speak of the pure devotees? So the verse is saying, even those who are materialists, but if there's some intelligence and through hearing about Krishna, some contact with Krishna, that experience is so attractive that such a person having that understanding, being a little intelligent, they can't avoid. They can't stop. What is that something that you can't stop? It's like breathing. You can stop eating. You can stop sleeping. You can stop so many things, but you know, something you can't stop. If there's actually understood the Supreme Lord and have become free from bad materialistic association. I was sharing this a little bit last night, but I'll go a little bit more because of different audience here. It's a very nice experience, this mantra yoga retreat with the Penn State students. How it affected people was remarkable. There are some for all the persons, first of all, they had no idea that they were coming to like a religious community. They were going to a place where they could practice hatha yoga. You know, whatever that might mean to them, to somebody that just like young American students. And when one of the first things that happened was, Om Namo, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate, mantra yoga retreat was the name of the event. They were looking at each other like, what's going on? One of them turned to one of the students, our group students, and said, is this something about God? He said, well, it's something spiritual. And the whole vibration was, I'm uncomfortable, I'm getting out of here. What is this? Strong. I mean, they weren't singing, they were like... So I was wondering if they would just like get in their car and go back. So we toned it way down. And one devotee was there, Hari Kirtan, and there was the whole day was hatha yoga. Some pranayama. And, you know, different, you know, there was stationary yoga where you take a pose and you hold it, and then moving yoga where you continue to move the body. And so they were learning things. And then kind of, by design, it shifted. He had them go from pranayama to, you know, three deep pranayama breaths, and then om. And it was the exercise called an ocean of om. And he was describing helping to fix the mind. Pranayama makes the mind peaceful, so the mind can be focused on something and focused on these sacred sounds. Om. They chanted Om for a while. Then a presentation on the role of sound and how sound is used in medicine, sonographs and war and you know, sound moves matter. Sound does things. Sound can move the mind, and then sound can move the heart. And sound can awaken higher states of consciousness, and so on. So it's sound, and then spiritual sound. And then they had another exercise, cathedral of sound, where you can feel, you know, sit in a nice yoga position and feel sounds and make sounds and, you know, feel it within your body, and your body becomes a whole, like a cathedral where sound and spirit, then spiritual sounds and om, and again these same mantras, and then japa. And then prashan. And then it was Badahari's turn again with kirtan yoga. And they looked at each other and they went into it. And by the end of the hour and a half or so session, they looked at each other, and it was meditative, and then it became lively. And when it became lively, they didn't have to be prompted. They just got up and started dancing. And the whole place was filled with dancing students, and they were happy and dancing and around and around, just like we do. Around and around and in circles and dancing and dancing. And then it was over. They didn't want it to be over. More. It was just like happens in our temples. Then he did a very soft one. Very nice melody. And the end, it was, you know, like 5 minutes of applause. They were so happy. Satsangan muktas duk sango. And so then their sharing at the end was, I've now found something, several things, but I've found something that this is shelter. I feel safe. I my bad tendencies can, I can get shelter or relief from them by this process. So I want to do this regularly. I want to grow with this. And another one said, I felt I found a sacred space within me. These are people that were, you know, I'm getting out of here. What's going on? And others that I'm sure they'll become devotees. At least one will become a devotee. So the process of Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting for the materialists, for the liberated souls, and for the devotees, and for the pure devotees, for all personalities. These messages have these potencies to, when heard and chanted properly, to draw one to Krishna's association, and in Krishna's association become relieved of the unwholesome association, even it may be around you, relieved of the bad effects of that unwholesome association, and become attached to Krishna. Here's his description of the materialist. The living being's constitutional position is one of serving a superior. He is obliged to serve by force the dictates of illusory material energy in different phases of sense gratification. And in serving the senses, he is never tired. Even though he may be tired, the illusory energy perpetually forces him to do so without being satisfied. There is no end to such sense gratificatory business. And the conditioned soul becomes entangled in such servitude without hope of release. release is only affected by the association with pure devotees. By such association, one is gradually promoted to his transcendental consciousness. So that's satsangam mukta duksango. Then what to speak if they can then understand Krishna in that association? Hatum, note sahate buddha, buddha is one who understands intelligence. By that association, factually understanding, there's real shelter. Krishna is real, and you can experience him through hearing and chanting and describing him in the right manner. So one gets released from that forceful position of serving illusion, and one can be in the position of still serving, but serving ultimate reality. Thus he can know that his eternal position is to render service unto the Lord and not to the perverted senses in the capacity of lust, anger, desire to lord it over, etc. And it, just one dismissal, Prabhupada is saying, this, all this business is bondage. Give it a nice name, it's still bondage. Material society, friendship, and love are all different phases of lust. Home, country, family, society, wealth, and all sorts of corollaries are causes of bondage in the material world, where the threefold miseries of life are concomitant factors. What to do? Association with pure devotees, and by hearing them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment becomes slackened, and attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. In Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1, there's six characteristics of pure devotional service. This is just summarizing those first two. Klesha, the sufferings, the threefold kleshas, adidaivaka, adibhautika, adiatmaka kleshas, the sufferings are destroyed. Kleshagni and Shubhada, the auspiciousness is awakened. Same as what's being said. Once one has this attraction, that person will go on progressively without stoppage, like fire in gunpowder. That's a really neat metaphor. Gunpowder just sits there. But you put fire, just won't stop. Won't stop. Try to stop it. Won't stop. When there is actual attraction for Krishna that comes as a result of proper hearing and chanting, then what about those who are beyond material attraction? Those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from all material bondage also become devotees of the Lord in the association of devotees, just like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, and it's possible the impersonalists through association devotees can become, surpass that neutral stage and come to the attraction to Krishna stage. So then, what to speak of the Pandavas? Imagine what they were feeling. That's the point here. Since their attraction was already more intense from continuous personal contact, his remembrance by his form, quality, name, fame, pastimes are so attractive for the pure devotee so much so that he forgets all forms, quality, name, fame, and activities of the mundane world. And due to his mature association with pure devotees, he is not out of contact with the Lord for a moment. Such a nice purport. So Vyasadeva is amplifying just to give us some idea of that inexplicable feeling of separation of the Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi and Uttara and Subhadra, Yuyutsu. What they were feeling. So, even the materialists, even the liberated souls, what to speak of the devotees, what to speak of the pure devotees. What a scene. Text 13, our final verse. All their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. They didn't know what to do. Krishna's leaving. They can't stop looking at him, but they can't stand that he's going to be leaving. Their emotions are just out of control. He's their everything. He's their maintainer. He's their protector. He's their shelter. He's their object of affection. And he's leaving. Their hearts were melting on the pot of attraction. So, in the purport, Prabhupada addresses, why is it that he's so attractive? In the Katha Upanishad, it is stated he's the Nityo Nityanam, he just paraphrases this one, Chaitanas Chaitananam. And thus one can obtain permanent peace and prosperity by revival of one's eternal relationship with him, now forgotten under the spell of Maya. Once this relation is slightly revived, the conditioned soul can at once become freed from the illusion of material energy and become mad after the association of the Lord. How is that made possible? That even that slightly revived Krishna consciousness, one way it can be said through the association satsanga mukta duksango, or, but what does satsanga do? What does that saintly person do? Describes the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. So just as we're doing here, Krishna is leaving. It certainly makes one curious. What's Krishna like that people are feeling this way? These are themselves are great personalities. Srimad Bhagavatam trains the conditioned soul to this stage of perfection by submissive hearing from the pure devotee. So, this is another purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's giving Krishna and attracting one to Krishna. Giving everyone Krishna's association through Srimad Bhagavatam. That's very nice. We can hold Krishna's association in our hand. He makes himself so available, Vyasadeva so expert, that in a literary form, Krishna's association can be with us. Even in a little old college town here in the middle of cornfields of Illinois. I mean, there's so many cornfields in this part of the country. Man, just miles and miles of corn. And they're proud of it. This is our product. There's signs. And there are soybeans too. Soybeans and corn. Of course, we know what they're for, but food shortage. Rubbish. Okay. Krishna's association through sound, drawing us to him, leaving behind dukkha sangha. That's exactly what one of the students said. A nice young girl who had never had any contact. She said, I have this problem with anger. Not extreme, but, you know, things happen and my mind gets stuck on those things that happen and I go, and I know it's not good. And then when I get in that position, I don't know what to do. But now I know what to do. I'll just do my yoga and chant my mantra and be in this nice sacred space again. And then I can, from that sacred space, I can deal with whatever that situation is. That I like this. I feel I've really gotten something. Wow. Now, continuing to practice, let's see if that happens, but at least, you know, the material is there, the means is there. It works. It's very satisfying to see that appreciation and that transformation taking place when people really take hold of something. It was effective because it wasn't just like last night, a nice class. And then, you know, they learn something and then they go home and do their homework. And, you know, they were with us for a whole weekend. So it was an experience. It wasn't just information. Okay. Any discussion?
What I'm not able to put together is that Dhritarashtra, although he later on, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that he attains the position of a dhira. But here, he is showing signs of
attraction for Krishna.
So
he was blinded by his attachment to his sons. I mean, his example is extreme, but we can think of some less extreme examples of the same principle. People that have some attraction for Krishna, but they're blinded by their lust or their passion or their bad habit or something like that. So they do foolish things. I know people like that. I know lots of people like that. He had a higher side. He had a higher nature, but it was covered. Bad. He couldn't do the right thing because he was too attached. But he had some attraction, had some higher nature.
Is it like, can we compare the analogy of parallel of Bilbam and Meltakul?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Yes.
And what's the people mentioned who were there when Krishna was leaving?
Yeah.
How come Arjuna was present?
It doesn't mention his name, doesn't say he wasn't present. Doesn't mention Yudhisthira's name, doesn't mean he wasn't present. So Bhadra's name was there, so we can assume Arjuna was there. What's that mean?
Nothing.
Okay. Okay.
So as a practical application on our part, I was just thinking, so if one has that such contradictory, like an attachment to the material, attachment to matter, and at the same time attraction, so
don't we all fall into that category? In degrees, but and so then your conclusion, practical application is?
In his case it was more extreme, so I was thinking what is the practical way of overcoming that kind of...
In our case, go on hearing with faith. That attachment that's blocking our Krishna consciousness by Krishna's mercy will be lifted. And it's not like, you know, we don't make any effort, but we go on hearing in a qualitative way. We take the means of connecting with Krishna seriously. May our attachment be upon Krishna. And may that attachment unto Krishna become stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.